You're listening to Donuts and Top Cow.
Two great tastes that taste better together.
Thanks for joining us for episode 23. We are Donuts and Top Cow. I'm one of your hosts, John Grigas.
And I'm Josh Crawley.
And we have a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. First and foremost, I'm particularly interested in looking at the Artifacts playing cards, Josh.
Ooh, finally.
Yeah, this is very cool.
I've actually had them for a couple weeks, but I forgot to show them to you last time you were in, and I hoarded them for myself. I was like, "Whoa."
Yeah, they are sweet, so I'm looking forward to talking about this a little bit more. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, Westfield Comics. Westfield Comics can be found with two retail locations in Madison, Wisconsin. You can also do business with them online at www.westfieldcomics.com. And you can get to-your-door comic subscription service at a discount of at least 20%. And some other incentives. Plus, on their website, they've got pretty cool and regular blog posts and some other fun stuff for you to check out. So check them out. And we have donuts this week from Miller & Sons, which is a grocery store down in Verona, Wisconsin.
I hear they have some tasty gyro brats there.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll have to check that out. We'll have to check that out, like, on our Jimmy Hayes show. Maybe we'll make a bunch of different kinds of brats if he, you know.
Yeah. Oh, we'll make Jimmy show up sometime.
Yeah, that could work. And so we've got Miller & Sons is kind of a small community, old-style grocery market. It's not a chain. It's definitely family-run. And the bakery is totally old-school back there. There's nothing that serve yourself. They've got bakers back there to take care of you and dial things in. And we've got a little variety of some raised donuts and some cake donuts, and it really is throwback old school. I grabbed a raised glazed, and it's this gigantic, puffy, old school fried donut. It's pretty good.
It looks authentic.
Yeah, and especially, and I guess their cake donuts, the cake donuts they call friars. So they have like a different fryer of the day or whatever. So that's, you know, might as well say what you are, you know, that kind of thing.
I don't know. People would stop listening to us because I'd have to say some pretty rude things about myself.
Well, we'll have the full disclosure show maybe around 50 or 100. Well,
I guess it wouldn't really be rude, just honest and truthful. Crude to some people, though. There we go.
Could be. So we also want to thank Derek Coward and the Comic Book Noise family of podcasts for welcoming us into their family. They also host our blog page and post our shows for us, and that we can be found at www.comicbooknoise.com/topcow, or you can just check out the feed at the Comic Book Noise family, which is available on iTunes. You can also find our individual show on iTunes. So,
and while you're there, assuming you've listened to us at least once because you're listening right now, you could rate us.
Ratings are good. We thrive on feedback, so whatever you can do is just terrific. So Josh has Artifacts playing cards. Now, the Artifacts playing cards were teased out as being released in sets of four cards at a time, along with the Artifacts issues. I'm sure there's been some production challenges and things with that because they hadn't shipped yet to us who have bought Artifacts. But you have half a deck here, and it's very cool to check them out.
Yeah, I guess a little further information. Each kind of set of four was supposed to be an incentive for the retailers who bought at least X number of copies of the Artifacts book total. And at the East Side store here, we had not started ordering Artifacts with issue one just because of the timing of opening the store and everything. So I don't think I started ordering until maybe issue five for the store here. And I believe Philip talked about this at C2E2, that all the stores were going to get kind of a basic chunk of cards. So this is probably what this is. Because it's not exactly... I mean, there's four of each card that are in there, but not all the cards are in there. But they feature the John Tyler Christopher artwork from all the B covers. And another interesting thing is they're actually... I don't know if you noticed this, John. Of course, now I have to find cards that accounts. So each card is the figure artwork, and then it has the 13 artifacts symbols behind there.
I really like that. I'd have to say that my favorite card, looking at the sampling you have here, is the Joker card, because the Joker card is just that ring of the artifact symbols.
But there's two Joker cards. There's a Top Cow Universe Joker card, and then there's the Top Cow Productions Artifacts Joker card. Because this card here, the backside, there's notes on the deck for like different gameplay. Because if you look at the Witchblades here, the Witchblade symbol on the card the Witchblade is on is kind of highlighted, but then that Queen of Spades there actually has kind of a slightly different... I don't remember what was on there because I handed them to you, but it's got the...
it's a graphic of her face behind the artifact.
Yeah, and the... The Angelus card is the same way, though it's hard to see most of the symbols because she's got Angelus warriors kind of grabbing her legs and all. It's pretty awesome. But, let me see. So for instance, the queens. For the Queen of Spades, in place of the traditional scepter, an image of Aphrodite IV is placed on the Witchblade symbol in the background.
Ooh.
Not that the other one has a scepter, but it has something to do with, you know, all of that stuff.
It may be why you only have half the deck and not the whole deck, because there may be some more clues coming. Because there's a lot of clues in these cards. I am impressed that each card is different. When you look at them, the one thing that kind of surprised me is I expected maybe a different graphic on each suit of cards, but it's really that John Tyler Christopher cover, that John Tyler Christopher character on the three. So for example, the threes is the Glacier Stone. So they have Michael Finnegan on all of the three cards, but each of the cards has a little subtle difference in it that's kind of fun to hunt out, as you were mentioning.
Yeah. Well, as far as I can tell, those differences are just in the suits, or not the suits, the face cards. I'm assuming in a normal deck that the corresponding cards also are different from the others, but I don't actually know playing cards all that well.
Yeah.
Save for there's 52 of them.
So what do we have in this deck right now?
We've got the fancy Notes on the Artifacts deck for normal gameplay card, which also has kind of the masthead for Top Cow. Two Jokers. Three card is the Glacier Stone, Michael Finnegan. Four is the Coin of Solomon, wielded by Aphrodite IV. Six is the Ember Stone and Gloriana Silver. 10 is the Rapture, featuring Tom Judge. The Jack is the Angelus, Danielle Baptiste. And the Queen, as is her rightful place, the Witchblade, Sarah Pizzini. And, yeah, we could probably guess who some of the other ones are here. Well, actually, we can, because the notes for the artifacts deck for normal gameplay actually gives the aces and the kings.
So is the ace then the survivor?
Yes, the 13th.
Oh, no, wait, that's G.
Yeah, G. Sorry, wires crossed in my brain there.
I'm looking forward to learning more about G.
And, the king, of course, is Jackie.
Darkness. Stupid me. How could the survivor be a card? Because there are 13 artifacts. 13.
Yeah. I was just crossing the survivor in my mind with G because I'm not quite smart like that.
Yeah,
sometimes.
But well, then if you listen to some of our previous artifacts episodes, we make a pretty direct connection between the 13th artifact and the survivor. Yeah. If the survivor is, in fact, the curator, because the curator looked like he was pretty much done in by the same kind of power that G wields as the 13th artifact.
Yes. I don't know why the phone's ringing. You totally don't have to edit this out. I find it odd that someone is calling this store when we are not open.
That maybe they're trying to find out your hours. Or see if you're open.
I'm going to go with telemarketer because it's been ringing for quite a while.
They don't give up, but they will call back.
So, those are the artifacts cards.
I'm really looking forward to seeing more of these, and I'm hoping that they'll have it in a pack that I can get a set of my own. I can only think that they would. There's a lot of work in them, and I hope I don't have to travel to a con to find it. But if I do, we'll do it. Very cool. So go to your retailer, and even if they don't have any packs for distribution, sounds like they went out to retailers, and they'll probably let you
maybe flip
handle
through them.
At least. And yeah, it's definitely worth the trip to your shop. Plus, there's a lot of great Top Cow books out now. Last week, the Artifacts 8 came out, the Magdalena 7 came out, and there's just a lot of good stuff that's rolling out from Top Cow.
Real quick about the cards, though. They're also supposed to be, and this is probably just in not these kind of thank you packs or we're sorry packs for them shipping a little late. They're supposed to be foil-stamped cards to, like, 1 in 10, I guess, regular playing cards, so...
Something to look forward to, but it's fun to actually have some in my hands. It's something where I don't care how long it takes.
They're really real.
Yeah, right. They're pretty high quality, too. We find them very cool. Well, as Josh dives into a donut, we were going to take a look at the previews, but while he takes care of that chocolate raised donut, I just wanted to give a shout-out and thanks to some Harvey Award nominees. Top Cow creators have been nominated for Harvey Awards for 2011. And the Harvey Awards is a comic industry award in multiple categories, and they are celebrated at the Baltimore Comic Con. This year's Baltimore Comic Con is held August 20 and 21, and the ceremony and banquet for the 2011 Harvey Awards will be held Saturday night, August 20. So if you can get a hold of a tuxedo and some bus or plane tickets, I recommend you get on out to the Baltimore Comic Con. I've heard Baltimore is a pretty good show anyway. And now here's an even better reason, because there are a lot of quality nominations for Top Cow this year.
I've only been to Baltimore once, and it was only for the Sunday, but it was awesome.
We gotta road trip that one of these years.
All right.
I can't swing this year, but
and I think
I'm going to put that on my radar.
I think that's the one Kyle Baker, the past few years, has been emceeing.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, they...
If I recall correctly.
Oh, I think it's going to be Scott Kurtz this year.
Oh, maybe he's been doing it. Maybe I'm getting it mixed up with something else.
Could have been, but he's kind of from that neck of the woods, isn't he? I don't know. In any case, big congratulations go out to some of our favorite creators. Starting off with Best Letterer, that's the first category, as it should be. And Troy Pateri is nominated specifically for Witchblade, but basically if it's got a Top Cow label on it, your chances are better than average that Troy Pateri is going to be doing the lettering. So congratulations to Troy, and we're going to try to get the ballot box stuffed for you. Best Inker was nominated Sal Regla for Magdalena. The work on Magdalena, and check out the Magdalena trade if you want to see some really good stuff there. Somebody who really has cleaned up in a few different nominations is Joshua Hale-Fialkov. Joshua Hale-Fialkov, who was nominated in Best New Series along with Roshan Ekedal for Echoes. And then he was also nominated again in a non-Top Cow book. This was an Archaea book, but under Best Graphic Album Previously Published, the Tumor Collection was nominated. Under Best Original Graphic Publication for Younger Readers, Paul Dini was nominated for Jingle Bell. And I know that's fully sitting in the Paul Dini shoulders, but Top Cow has been putting out some Jingle Bell books, so definitely want to give a Top Cow shout-out for Paul Dini. The Best Domestic Reprint Project nominated was The Darkness from Garth Ennis, Mark Silvestri, and Bat.
Huh.
And
interesting.
Yeah. The Best Writer category, and we see again Joshua Hale-Fialkov for Echoes. And that is also where the last nomination that I was able to garner from the list is the Best Single Issue or Story, Echoes #1. Joshua Hale Fialkov, and Roshan Ekedal. So some good props, well-deserved nominations for Echoes and also for the other Top Cow creators this year.
And if you want to hear me complain about non-Top Cow related Harvey nominations, you can drop an email, or even better, find me at a convention and buy me a beer, because there was something interesting in there this year that kind of made me go, really? Though a lot of times, I mean, not that I'm complaining about any Top Cow nominations, sometimes though I wonder what the guidelines are, or the criteria for nominations are, because I look at some of this stuff, and with other awards too, and I'm like, really? That makes no sense.
Yeah, that's true, and there are some creators that you see in a lot of different awards that just don't come up, so Harvey definitely is more of a on the fringe type of nominations, as far as a lot more alternative press gets their way in there, a lot more really stick your neck out type of creators get in there, and I really like watching some of the stuff there.
I'm trying to remember, I think the Harveys are industry professional nominated and voted.
Oh, that makes some sense. There was some things I was happy to say. I doubt they listen, but if somebody who knows them does, I do want to congratulate Comfort Love and Adam Withers for their new series Rainbow in the Dark, which is they were nominated for Most Promising New Talent. I had the privilege of having dinner with Comfort and Adam on it was the Saturday night of New York Comic Con this last year, so I want to congratulate them, and I'll probably send them out a message also to congratulate them. But and also one of your friends, Jenny Frisson, was nominated for Best Cover Artist.
Well, I met Jenny once. I wouldn't say we're friends. Not that I wouldn't. I probably don't know her well enough to say I'd want to be friends. She seemed like a nice person when I met her, but she draws beauteously.
She draws real pretty.
Gorgeous covers.
We've got a great Wonder Woman poster up in our Justice League bathroom at home, and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So let's check out previews, Josh.
Previews. It's the new previews theme music. So if you're flipping through with us, page 169 begins previews, the image section, rather, of previews. And a nice Witchblade by Stjepan Sejic tearing through an old Witchblade cover. I think that's Witchblade number one's cover. By Michael Turner.
Nice.
And a few pages in, Witchblade 150.
The bittersweet issue.
The end of an era. Witchblade reaches its momentous 150th issue. The series reaches another landmark as longtime writer Ron Mars and artist Stjepan Sejic put a final stamp on the series they helped define for the modern reader with their final issue. Sarah Pizzini has long walked the thin line between being the bearer of the Witchblade and a detective for the New York Police Department. Now as internal affairs closes in on her, she may be forced to choose between her two lives. Bum, bum, bum. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking really forward to reading that.
And I'm totally going to go out on a limb here and say, since Michael Broussard is doing cover B, he's going to be the artist, at least for issue 151.
I'd be up for that.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that B cover. That's the cover I want.
Yeah. It is actually mislabeled in previews as cover A, but yeah, that's very obviously Broussard artwork, and that's very obviously Sejic artwork, so.
Yeah. I'm still going for the Sejic cover B.
Broussard cover B.
Oh, right.
See?
Maybe I'll just buy one of each.
Darn you, previews. Yeah, I won't stop you from doing that.
Yeah, I didn't think you would.
And then I'll go a few pages in, and Teen Wolf, Bite Me, number 1 of 3, apparently, is from Top Cow.
Oh, are you kidding me? I'm going to have to buy a Teen Wolf book?
I totally hadn't ever seen any announcement that they were doing a Teen Wolf book.
Wow, some licensed property.
Story by David Tishman, art by Stephen Mooney. And I don't think I'm going to read this solicitation copy because it's Teen Wolf.
But, you know, this is an opportunity to get some new listeners. So we're going to find you Teen Wolf folks and draw you over to the Top Cow universe.
Yeah, we're going
to
get you Teen Wolves.
Because if you think about it, that's not all that far off of
no.
of Top Cow's wheelhouse. So,
though what I've heard about the TV show, I guess they totally played it, I guess, differently than the movie, which was kind of...
See, I just remember Michael J. Fox playing basketball with hair on his face. Yeah. That's the memory I've got of that movie.
I don't know what to... Well, you know what? I'm going to read the solicitation copy out loud because I realized I really have no clue what mood they're going for. Scott McCall's life is a living nightmare. Sure, he's co-captain of the Beacon Hills High lacrosse team, and he's got a hot new girlfriend named Allison who adores him, but Scott was bitten by a werewolf. And every time he gets excited, whoa, the claws come out, and the hair, and the fangs. Which might be okay, except Allison's father leads a specially trained group of hunters who want him dead. Scott's managed to keep his secret safe, but what happens when he can't reverse the process?
Now, is that a photo cover that they show, or is
this
that...
This does appear to be a photo cover.
Okay.
And there's no other information, at least here on regular previews. It might be in the retailer form or something. But it looks like, yeah, maybe it'll just be a photo cover.
One thing that's interesting is at the bottom of the solicitation, it says, offered again, Tracker Volume 1 trade paperback. And what connection would Tracker have to this?
Wolves. Can you imagine? Werewolves.
Okay.
It's that werewolf book that we haven't read and gone over yet. But I've been meaning to. I promise. Artifacts 13. And this is one where we get two John Tyler Christopher covers of G. One with him kind of looking all normal and another with a crazy skull face and black plumy smoky fire rippling off from his head and shoulders.
Yeah, and the background color is different as well.
Yes. And if we haven't mentioned it yet, Dale Keown's doing the art for Artifacts 13. Mark Silvestri let me down.
And they also have a placeholder for the cover art. It just basically says not final cover art, cover A. So I don't
it hasn't been colored yet is probably
the
reason.
Difference you
yeah,
think?
Not final color art. Yeah, cover A. Yeah, that was like that with the Mike Choi cover for Witchblade 150 also.
That's a major... That's some big kind of cover, but then the largest figure there is the Glacier Stone.
My guess is it's partially because it's a wraparound cover.
Yeah. And he's probably the largest of all the artifacts wielders, but still pretty prominent.
Yeah. There's a bunch of fire in the background, so it'll probably contrast the blue and the orangish red pretty well. It's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Oh, I didn't read that. Do I really need to read the solicitation for that? Does anyone not know what this comic's going to be about at this point?
I don't know, but I do know that we will definitely be having a special episode surrounding Artifacts 13, and we'll give you a little more details as we get closer to the event. So we just say pick up Artifacts 13 and come participate with us.
The first trade is out already, and it's dirt cheap.
It is priced to sell.
$9.99. And it contains four comic books that were $3.99. So if you don't know your math, it's like, yeah, it's a great deal. I'm not going to actually do the math. Pilot Season Declassified 2011 for $1.
All right. Crank it up.
After 5 years, the annual pilot season has become a comics institution and a unique engine for debuting new ideas and properties into comics. Get your first look at this year's competition, which begins in October, including the list of creative team... Ooh, blah, blah, blah. Me stumbling over my own words. Which begins in October, including the list of creative teams, this year's concepts, and an early look at the art from each book. You'll also get an early look at upcoming series from previous winners like Genius, Aw Yeah... and 39 minutes. We can't tell you much more because it's still top secret, but we will give you this hint. 842.
Well, that's an easy hint.
Well, it's not a shipping date.
No, it's definitely not a shipping date.
842. I have no clue what any of that would
be. I'm not sure, but I'm going to put some thought to that. I think we got to come up with some Maybe that'll be the July contest, is use your creativity with your conspiracy theory and figure out what 842 means.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Tweet it out and we'll share it.
Oh, that's right. Is our last contest over?
Our last contest.
Or our current contest?
We'll just say our current/last contest is expired.
Yeah, because we're recording in July now. So.
We are recording in July, and it expired without an entrant, actually.
Then maybe, just maybe, we'll have to up the stakes.
I think we need to...
With the Golden Witchblade.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, she's not signed by Claiborne Moore. But
still,
there's
cool.
A Golden Witchblade with real light feature in hand. So there... And then she's got... I don't know if it's a crazy light piping that also makes the goofy clubby spear thing glow, too. But, Yeah.
Looks sweet.
She's got a real cloth cape. Crazy purple eyeshadow.
We'll get some pictures up on the Facebook page of both the Witchblade figures that we're cranking up for July.
That one's also from Wade. Oh, this appears to be like a Wizard exclusive dealie. There's some
nice.
Wizard logos there.
Yes, okay. So, get some history, get some figures, get some Witchblade. And all we got to do is just figure out what 842 means. It doesn't have to be the right answer. It just has to be your best shot at it.
Hopefully it's entertaining, because if it's not entertaining, well, I would mock you. John would tell me not to mock you. I won't do it on air, though.
And
just be like, oh, come on, entertain me.
The entry is not a judged entry. The entry is just based on participation, and we will pick a random person who's joining the fun with us.
Unless it's super hilarious.
Or unless it's Wade. Wade can't win this contest. Although it would be funny to see the look on his wife's face if he did win the contest.
Wade, look at what you won. Things that you gave us to give away as prizes.
So that means that you can still participate, Wade. We'd appreciate that. But you're not winning this prize. So we'll buy you a donut.
If there is a standout make me laugh winner, I bet I can find a few more of these figures.
Well, we reserve the right to do bonus prizes at any time.
Yes.
So get a hold of us on Twitter at DTCPodcast. You can also email us, DTCPodcast@gmail.com. You can post on our Facebook page. Find us at Donuts and Top Cow, which is DOUGHNUTS. And no matter where it comes from, we will kick it around and share it on the air and hope to get some nice back and forth between us all.
And back to previews. The Darkness Compendium Volume 2 trade paperback.
Ah, yes. That was solicited pretty soon after the hardcover.
Yes. My guess would be there's a decent chance they were probably going to be printed near around the same time.
Yeah.
Maybe it just took longer to get the hardcovers fabricated. 1,280 pages of teen plus action, which is probably, I don't remember Image's new rating system, but I'm going to pretend that that's 15 or 16 and up is the intended rating there, for $59.99 at retail. So if you were to say order it from westfieldcomics.com, I think it's 20% off, so you're saving $12, so it's like $48 for almost 1,300 pages of content.
That's a good deal. I know I'm going to jump on.
And in that, you get Paul Jenkins, Ron Mars, Phil Hester, Frank Thierry, David Lapham, and Josh Fialkoff, because this collects The Darkness Volume 2, 1 through 24, which is like all of it. The Darkness Volume 3, 1 through 10, and then it was renumbered 75 through 89. Plus, I'm going to guess maybe there's a couple of those one-shots in there, like all the ones I can't think of the name of right now.
Think the Magdalena issue would show up in there?
Probably not. Not the Magdalena Daredevil issue?
Oh, duh. Right. I was thinking of something else.
Okay.
There is no darkness in that.
No. But yeah, this basically, if you get the first compendium and this compendium, you'll probably have all of the darkness for the most part, the Darkness Material in two books.
And you'll be pretty close to current, because...
Yeah, oh yeah, because this collects through
91 just came out, right?
Yeah, I think 91.
92, maybe. Well, I'll tell you, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I was... You know, I have an English degree, so I was always good in English, but I was terrible at math. I'm not good with numbers, so...
Yeah, I have 91 on the shelf. It looks like Outer Darkness Part 1, so I think Outer Darkness Part 2 might have shipped. Yeah,
because I bought that, I think, 2 weeks ago, so...
Go buy that.
That's a nice collection.
I mean, assuming you don't have all that material already.
Right.
I was going to say, I bet that one shot that I want to say Mike Oeming drew might be in there. I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name's hand... It was some goofy name I don't remember the name of. He sold that cover on eBay recently, I guess.
Wow. You know, I have to really compliment Top Cow on their trade dress and how nice they look on the shelves. My wife was doing some cleaning and rearranging in our den the other day, and she made a point of saying, wow, these Witchblade trades look really good.
Yeah.
That's a score. If you can get your wife to say the Witchblade trades look really good, that's some good...
Phil Smith, I'm guessing, is the one who gets all the credit for that. And, yeah, it's great. He did something that's versatile, yet classy. Because, like, you look at a lot of the recent ones, and they're all generally, like, the spines especially all generally look the same, but it works. It's such a great design. It works so well for... I mean, you plug pretty much any Top Cow property into it, and it looks pretty great.
Yeah, it looks really great, especially what they've been doing the last few years. They tried to find some consistency with the yellow banner, and I like what they're doing now instead.
Ooh, yeah, those yellow banners were a little...
garish. And now we'll just leave that for Dynamite to worry about, I guess.
Well, you know, I think Powers might have done those first. Huh. I could be wrong, but I thought they were on Powers first. But now that I think about it, I know the first Powers trade wasn't like that, so... Of course, then they followed that up with doing a lot of the Bendis Icon stuff like that, and ooh, it looks a little rough on some of those.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about that now. Now, we have the Twilight Guardian trade paperback by Troy Hickman and Company.
It's solicited. We promised a show about that series.
Yes. Honestly, it's all my fault. I was waiting for the trade. All Underneath the Cover by Kucha. It's a pilot season winner. The entire tale of a lone, dedicated hero patrolling her nine-block suburban neighborhood that captured the imaginations of fans during 2008's pilot season and after heated voting emerges. I'm not going to finish reading that sentence. That was really, really clunky. Anyways, lone, dedicated hero... Nine-block suburban neighborhood. She's Twilight Guardian.
It's a fun series. It's a nice change of pace series from what you might be reading. I recommend it to kind of slip in for a nice change of pace in your reading list. And the author, Troy Hickman's been a great guy to interact with. So we're going to definitely take a closer look at Twilight Guardian as this gets closer to coming out. Pre-order it now. You can definitely save some money, and even if you don't, it's still worth it.
5 issues, 160 pages, $19.99, teen plus, out September 14th. Oh, I was going to jump to the end here, though. It delves into Twilight Guardian's past, her motivations for crime fighting, and even her arch nemesis, the terrifying Dusk Devil.
Yeah.
Mwahaha. APOC number 2 of 5. Murder Meets Mayhem. That's the book that I was saying I think looked kind of a little Joe Madureira-ish in some respects. I know there's been some stuff about it recently, but I haven't read too much of it. Partially because sometimes if I'm on my phone and it's, say, a link to a Newsarama site, I don't like crashing my phone.
Yeah.
Or my desktop. So. But, spiraling into the shadowy world of the supernatural, Detective Jonah Wright races to solve the murder of his partner, the Archangel Michael. For the first time in millennia, the Supernatural Council will enact APOC, an ancient fighting tournament that will determine Michael's successor. But how will Jonah, a mere human, beat the dirty politics and ancient customs of his supernatural ancestry? Well, if you can't beat them, ellipsis. Ooh, Magdalena number 9.
Now, Magdalena, that is fully on track and coming out monthly now.
I think so, yeah. Because David Marquez has kind of stepped in for co-art duties with Nelson Blake II and Sal Regla. With Dave McKeag on covers, colors. Once more under the employ of the Catholic Church, Patience, the current Magdalena, and her mentor, Knight of Malta, Christoph, are called on to find a piece of the one true cross. Mysterious Ways, number 3, by Jason Rubin and Tyler Kirkham, of 6. The pieces are starting to come together for Sam, the alcoholic ex-cop turned serial killer suspect. Literally. The mystery surrounding Sam is beginning to come together, but solving it will require Sam to make a leap of faith. And it is a dark, action-packed supernatural thriller that will have you questioning everything you believe. Shinku number 4, not a top cow book, but the first 2 issues are awesome.
Yeah, one we like quite a bit.
And that appears to wrap up the Top Cow offerings in the July 2011 issue of Previews, number 274, which you can view some of this stuff online at previewsworld.com.
Solid month in the works for Top Cow.
Especially with that brick of darkness coming
out. Yeah, that's...
Home defense unit, too, you know.
Start saving up.
Drop that on someone's head. You might do some spinal column damage.
Just in time for holiday giving, too. You get that early and tuck it away, then you got a lot of your shopping out of the way.
Yes. My problem with buying presents early is I always want to give them to people right away. So it's like, oh, look,
I buy them all year long.
I can't do it. It's like... Especially if it's something I think is super awesome that they'll totally love. Like, I want them to have that joy as soon as possible.
Yeah. I agree that, you know, the fun of gifts is in the giving.
And then there's sometimes when I'm like, oh, I totally want to tell this person that something, like, if I mail it to them, like, oh, something cool's coming. And I have to bite my tongue and just not say anything because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not always, though, because you could have something as cool as artifacts cards in your hands for 2 weeks and nobody knows about it.
True. Although I did tell you before I saw you next. It was one of those, on Twitter, oh, by the way.
Yeah, well, yeah. Right.
Only because Top Cow, they tweeted them assembling decks, so.
Whoopsie.
Oops.
Still cool. So, for... The next one of the series that we have coming this summer and fall is that we're going back through the Ron Mars run of Witchblade. We intend to get it completed by issue 150. We recommend that you join us in that. Most of you probably have either all these issues or you've got the trades on your shelf. And one of the things I'm looking for particularly is some artifacts clues to see if some of the stuff that's taken place in artifacts could have been... You know, if he might have tipped his hand here or there, which I'm hoping he did. And in any case, we're starting off with the Witchblade Volume 1 and 2 of the most recent trade paperback release, and that will be next week's show. So if you have them on your shelf, take a look at them, give us your thoughts, we'll share them with everybody, and it's going to be a fun episode.
Yes.
Have a great week.
Good journey.